Thank you, Steve. Hi, everybody. It's us. It's Bill Leffin. It's Wendy Snyder. Welcome to the show. Hi, Wendy.
Good morning, Bill.
Can I state the obvious? It'll just take me a second. I just need to state the obvious. It's insanely foggy outside.
I know.
Really, really, really foggy. Like London-y foggy.
I wouldn't
be surprised if Jack the Ripper did something awful today at some point. A word of warning to those of you listening.
Thank God you gave the warning.
Right. There's a Ripper warning, in fact. Code Blue Ripper warning.
I think it's just an advisory right now, Bill, right. But it could be up
keep
to a warning
posted.
Soon.
Well, Steve, keep your eye on the tab. See what happens.
We've had some sort of advisory or warning almost every day. It seems like, well, it's the February 7th, but this month.
What have they? Well, of course, the ice warning.
We had
an
ice storm warning. We had a winter weather advisory.
Extreme cold warning.
Yesterday.
Yeah.
And today's a dense fog warning, which replaces the winter weather advisories.
What am I?
Well, you're a dense fog.
Thank you very much.
Wendy available for kids'
wow.
parties. Start Saturday.
And I got that without even seeing it.
Hey,
we also, really quickly, we get that warning on our building warning us that falling ice decapitate us at any moment.
I think the ice has already fallen.
This time it has. I don't know where they keep the signs, but I notice them. I come in a different way than you do. They make me come through the back exit. I don't know why. I have to go through the rear end of the building to get into it. I don't know why. But there's a sign that says
caution falling ice.
Oh, yeah.
You know what, Bill? That's you just seeing the back of it. The other side says Ripper Advisory.
Oh, it does.
Right. So
okay.
They just flip those.
That's much better.
That's just so. I mean, I know they're putting a sign so you look out, but wouldn't it be worse if you looked up and got ice in your eye? Like a big chunk of ice in your eye? And do you go closer to the building? Are you safer there or do you go farther away?
I don't go closer.
Will an umbrella
further,
help?
I just go faster. No, an umbrella would
serpentine?
Not help. No, beeline, straight, straight for the entrance. Get in quick.
It is kind of scary, and I know there have been some accidents where people have gotten killed by a chunk of ice or snow or what have you.
Horrible way to go.
That is a pretty bad
way to go.
All right, well, on a cheerier note.
Yeah, that's happy.
Did you have your Krispy Kreme?
Yeah, I did. They were very good. They have a special Valentine's Day edition Krispy Kreme donut out, and they sent them to us to make sure that they're crispy and creamy and delicious, and they are.
They're filled
with
strawberry jelly. They're really good. I've never had a Krispy Kreme filled. I usually typically go with the glazed.
The new collection features four Krispy Kreme classic fillings. They include cake batter, chocolate cream filled, raspberry filled, and strawberry and cream.
Wait, filled with cake batter?
I guess. I would imagine.
I didn't see that
one. That sounds pretty good.
Well, please have one because these are the conversation donuts available now through February 14th at Krispy Kreme. And there are three locations, Evergreen Park, Homewood, and Hillside. They say BFF, all the feels.
All the feels.
Like
what?
It doesn't feel.
Was that dense fog again?
Yeah,
no, that was a
dense fog's cousin,
feel.
Crazy horse.
And away he goes.
Wow. So upon eating one of these donuts, you'll just start talking.
I think I have a sugar buzz going.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Maybe.
She's unstoppable.
Yeah.
But they're really cute because you know how those sweet heart candies are not available.
Right.
Now, Krispy Kreme has taken over and their conversation donuts.
They're filling in the gap created by Sweethearts.
Genius.
Very smart
move. Are you going to miss those?
No.
Man, they broke my
teeth. Candy, they didn't taste like anything but chalk.
I kind of liked them.
The wafers, kind of.
Don't they fit under the bracket, though, of things that you don't necessarily want or need, but you just want them to be there? You just want the tradition to
continue?
Like
candy corn.
Like candy corn. Peeps. Perfect example.
When's the last time you ate a Peep?
Oh, Peeps are the worst.
Maybe 10 years ago, 12 years ago?
I bet longer.
Peeps are out now for every holiday, too.
Yeah.
They have little Statues of Liberty for the 4th of July.
You are kidding me.
No,
yeah,
they're
he
always
still has
around.
Them.
Well,
he still
swear
has
to God,
them.
I believe anything.
It's just about time to eat it.
But you know how, even though they don't affect you directly, there's still something about, you don't want them to go away.
I don't care.
Really?
Like those sweet hearts. When's the last time you ate one?
Oh,
honestly, as a kid.
Probably as a kid.
So what do you mean, sweetheart? You mean like the candy hearts we're talking about?
Yeah, that are not here.
They're made out of chalk.
Oh, no, I do like those. I like to take a handful of those.
It tastes like chalk, yeah.
They're pastel colors, and they say things like too good to be forgotten with the letters on there.
Be mine.
Yeah, that kind of stuff.
Ditto. Remember when they started saying ditto?
Right. They got lazy at some point. They just went, just put ditto down. It just another felt thing because something. Don't Don't waste your day thinking of something clever. It's a heart.
That no one eats. I mean, I guess you could decorate with them, but even the kids don't like them.
Well, Valentine's Day when you were a kid, you if you were bringing a Valentine's Day candy to school, that was the default one. You just brought
that. They came in the box, the little box. You attach them to a Valentine. I always did that with my kids.
You could sign, there had a place where you could sign your name to on the boxes. From.
Perforated box.
Oh, right. I love those candies. I really did. I mean, you know, I wouldn't go out of my way, but I would.
There won't be any this year.
But next year they're back,
But they will be back next year. But couldn't another company, I don't know what the rule is. You could probably make something pretty close to that. I mean, I guess you could say Krispy Kreme is doing exactly that with their donuts. But if you were another
confectioner. Yeah, but the donuts have taste. Those candies have nothing. They're cute.
Like they all taste the same.
Like a chalky aftertaste, kind of.
And that's good? Have some Pepto-Bismol.
It's a texture thing. You get the crunch.
That's what it is.
And then that sticks.
And
in
then
your
what
teeth?
Else? You just get a crunch. There's nothing else.
Don't rip on what I like, okay? I just like them.
Speaking of stuff from days ago, from a long time ago, I was telling a friend about something that people used to have in a grocery store. Let's take a break, and then I'll explain. This is something that people had in a grocery store, and I haven't seen them in 35 or 40 years. And my friend thought I was making it up, but I was not making it up. And I just want to see if any of you remember this, all right?
Can't wait.
All right, that's coming up next. And then a full show. We'll tell you who's on the show. It's what an illustrious list. That's coming up in just a little bit. It's Bill and Wendy at WGN. Still to come on today's show, Pablo Francisco. We've had Pablo on the show many, many times. Very, very funny.
And a bulletin.
What?
Breaking news.
What, Wendy? What is it?
This goes out to Steve Bertrand. Someone is saying that Brock's has taken over the conversation heart, so they are available now.
Oh, that's good to know.
That's great news.
So thank you to the honest to God 10 listeners that texted that in.
That many people are aware of this.
Yeah. Brock's has the heart candy you're talking about. I saw them at Walgreens and at Walmart. I think it's Brock's. Brock's, Brock's, Brock's.
So now all I need are for people to buy them, because I would never buy them.
No. But aren't you kind of happy to hear that they're out there?
Yeah, I take them from the candy bowl when I walk by.
Yeah.
Who has them in a candy bowl?
No one yet, apparently.
Someone somewhere does.
All right, something you were going to...
All right, I started telling a friend about this, and he said, I imagined it, but I know I didn't imagine it.
You do. You're pretty creative.
Very creative, but not with... this is something that was too important to have made up. Do you remember when, all right, so this would have been sometime in the 60s, I would think. Yeah, it would have to be in the 60s. If you were going to a grocery store, you would see people have these things that were plastic and they were red and they had three buttons on them. And the purpose was to keep track of how much money you have spent on your groceries. Like you would press one that had it was a button for dollars. There was one that was for cents. It would automatically turn over. Like if you went past 99 cents, it was savvy enough, even though it was just plastic, to turn it over into dollars, to convert it into dollars. And again, the purpose was so you would budget your money. You would know exactly how much money you were spending when you were at whatever grocery store you were at in the 1960s. Waltz Food Center. Were they in the 60s?
Waltz.
Waltz. I think they were in the 60s. They're still in existence, but I think...
Never been to a Waltz.
Oh, Wendy.
I know, I haven't lived.
Come on.
I never used one of those clickers, but I do recall...
Do you remember them?
I do, and our family didn't have one, nor did yours, right?
We had one, but it was just to give me something to do while I was in the store to take my mind off of getting cereal and stuff. My mom would just give it to me, and she'd say, keep track of this. So I would just keep pressing the buttons. But I would think... Like, they probably stopped being made around the time calculators became a thing that was affordable to people. So what would that be, 1969, 1970?
Wow.
And I wouldn't even know what to call this thing. I have no idea what it was called.
I know, I'm trying to Google it. Red clicker to keep track of spending.
Sounds like what an umpire would hold to keep track of balls and strikes.
You know what? It's in that family.
Yeah. I found it.
It's definitely in the family.
Red plastic clicker counter... grocery thing.
That's the official name?
Super Adomatic. Registered trademark.
The Super Adomatic.
ADD.
Yeah.
Tell me about it. Adomatic. I have it. I can say it.
Yeah.
I'll show you a picture of it because, boy, if you just Google this, it's
about palm size,
I can buy
right?
one.
I would love, it would help me out to have one.
$34.99.
No.
It's a vintage Super Ad-O-Matic red plastic clicker counter grocery dollar calculator.
What kind of looks would you get at the Mariano's if you walked around and you did that? Every time you threw something in your basket, you just clicked in 69 cents, $1.89.
No, I found another one that calls itself the Handy Adder.
The Handy Adder sounds right.
Oh, go with Bertrand.
I think ours was called the Handy Adder. I'm pretty sure.
Was it flat? Because the Ad-O-Matic was flat and the Handy Adder sort of was textured, where you could add a dollar or dimes or cents.
I think they both did that. Now, Wendy's showing me a picture of one that is not the one we had.
Oh, this is the one we had, I think. The Ad-O-Matic.
Those buttons are much, much larger than the ones. Now, honestly, if you showed that to a kid today and say this was cutting-edge technology in 1968, if you were going grocery shopping, you'd carry one of these. That kid would say, what's wrong with you? Why would you even bother? And I think we wondered that at the time.
And so then if you forgot a few things, would you have to go start over?
Yes. You'd have to put everything back on the shelf.
Right, or go find where it was on the shelf.
Yes.
Although you wouldn't have to because they would have had the stickers with the prices on them.
Oh, that's true. That's very true.
What if you forgot to enter something?
Then
you
could.
Oh, yeah, you couldn't trust yourself.
Right.
Did the thing subtract?
No.
Oh, I don't remember this at all, and I was around.
So many people, well, I shouldn't say so many people, but a good percentage of people I remember as a kid would use one when you were grocery shopping.
You can, it's a vintage clicker quick check. Is that the one you had? Because there are three different, but they're all red with white buttons.
So the ones you're showing me have very large white buttons on it. Ours were a little more manageable.
Sure, you
they
had
were
the best.
Smaller, yeah. We had a really nice one. It was the envy of everyone in the neighborhood. Wow, where'd you get your counter adder? That's the best I've ever seen. Well, things are good right now.
I think my grandma had one in like her junk drawer. She never really used it, but I remember playing with it.
Right.
Not at the grocery store though.
But it was so funny to see people take them so seriously. Like you'd see somebody stop, they'd put something in their basket, and then they do that squint thing. They'd look at it and squint, and that was $1.19. That was $1.49.
A lot of people remember this, Bill.
I'm so glad people remember it, because my friend goes, why would they make something that stupid? And I go, because it was a simpler time.
Dude, they had an abacus.
Right.
I mean, come on.
Right.
Does he know about that?
And they just come up with plastic and needed to find things to do with it.
Right. That's true.
Someone has texted in, if men wrote the messages on those candy hearts, game on TV, stop talking, can you cook? Don't call me. Your mom's hot. Bring a friend.
Oh, nice. Nice. Well, remember when we talked about these last, there's a company that makes an X-rated version of these.
They weren't that X-rated.
Examples?
I can't say the example, Steve. Although I did on the stream.
They weren't even
that
dirty.
And Wendy,
well, let's try with Wendy.
Here's
examples.
How semi-dirty they were.
Remember.
Wendy was embarrassed by three of them.
Really?
Yeah.
It was?
Yeah. There were three different ones that you were embarrassed by.
Okay.
There were six that you had actually done, but there were three that you were very, very embarrassed by.
God.
Were you a consultant?
I'm finished talking to you,
it
too.
It says Wendy Snyder endorsed
right,
on the box.
Right.
Right at the very, very small print.
The acknowledgments.
Right. A special thank you to WGN Radio's Wendy Snyder for providing us the inspiration to create these X-rated hand candy
in 1999,
Let me know when you're finished.
It's going to be a while.
Yeah, we got some time.
My mom had one of those clickers in the 50s. I remember going up to the grocery store and her adding the prices up as we shopped. My dad used one all the time. My mom still has it.
Still?
Send it to Bill.
I love that. I wonder if they have it and they just keep it in a drawer somewhere or if they physically use it. I would love to see somebody in a grocery store still using one of those.
Yes, I had an Ad-O-Matic needed battery.
No, they didn't make electric. I don't think they made electric ones. It was all hand operated.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to introduce to you someone who currently has one. Bonnie, welcome.
Hi.
Bonnie, you're my hero.
Yes, I have one yet from years ago, and mine is called the Pocket Counter.
That's the one we had. The Pocket Counter. That is absolutely the one we had. And do you still use it, or you just still have it?
No, I just kept it. I don't know why. I keep everything.
Have you shown it to anybody else, anybody younger, and had to explain exactly what it was?
No, I haven't, but I will leave it out for my grandchildren when they come this weekend.
See how they react to it. I would love to know.
Okay, I'll let you know.
Bonnie, thanks a million. Have a great rest of the day.
Now, oh, don't, I will. I hope you both do.
When
thanks,
he says
Bonnie.
A million, Bonnie, don't add that up. It'll take you forever.
The buttons don't go that high.
That's the pocket counter, and there's a little loop where you could put it on a keychain.
That's the one you're showing me is the one we had.
I cannot believe how happy you are for looking at
this.
It's
like seeing an old friend again after a long time.
And you make fun of me, Bertrand?
Yeah, I do.
All right, whatever. We have to keep up to date here because we have a lot of guests today.
Pablo Francisco will be here. Tony Abruscato will be here. Dean Richards will be here. All of our guests have an O at the end of their names. It should be a good show. Stick around. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Put your seatbelts on, everybody. Pablo Francisco is here. He's performing at the Improv tonight, tomorrow, Saturday, and Sunday. You want to go to chicago.improv.com for all your ticket information. Nice to see you.
Nice to see you.
That's although me. I understand these are under tough circumstances. I hope this is okay to mention. You're, you're having some dental problems.
I was eating one of those cereal bars, and and had a little. It broke up, and his tooth broke.
Oh, your tooth broke.
Well, it cracked. Yeah, and it was like pulling little tiny pieces. I had to do it, an Indian guy. Tiny pieces of teeth I pull out. So I kind of look like that hash, I don't know, like corned beef hash Johnson. Hey, how you doing? Yeah, cha 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 cha.
Wait, who is corned beef hash Johnson?
Some guy I made up in my head.
How could you tell it was your tooth or a piece of granola?
Hey, I was messing with it. I was like, I can pop this one. You know, when you're trying to challenge that nut.
I can beat a nut.
Yeah, but you know, you bite down on that piece of ice until you chisel it all the way down. But this one, it broke it down.
Oh no!
Do you have a hole?
No, actually, it broke nice and perfect. The dentist goes, we can easily put an implant in there. So they're going to drill it in there and do that kind
of thing. Is that going to be painful, though, or you'll be okay?
What? I've been checking out the procedures up in on the line, and it looks pretty simple, but unless you get those one guys that go, man, I was drinking, and he just put it right in there. And I said, man, I bored the anesthesia. He put like 6 shots. Next thing you know, man, we're talking right now. That kind of thing. So.
I have 2 implants in my teeth, dental implants.
Yep.
They didn't hurt, really, at all.
I've seen how the procedure, how they do them. They just drill it in there, and then they go really deep down in there, and then they pull it out, and then they
screw the implant in. Yeah. They put like a bolt in your jaw.
Oh, right. Wow.
And it's like the Mercedes-Benz of dental. But right now I got the Hyundai.
Are you usually pretty good with doctors and dentists, or are you a little leery of them?
Are you a baby?
Actually, no. I'm pretty good with them.
You are okay?
So, except for the shot, when they give you a big needle like that to draw blood or something, that's when you turn into like a baby. Like, all right, put it right in there. But catheter, that's the worst, man. That's the best thing, for a woman to keep a guy hostage. Put the catheter. Hey, I can't move. What happened?
Bones, what's going on? Cannot move. Got the dirt inside. How do they stick it inside?
I don't think people just have handy to keep you captive.
Yeah. Well, just in case, people in prison are like that, Put a catheter. No cell. Can't move.
Catheter inside. Someone's drinking water.
But do you dream like this? Are your dreams like involved like this?
My dream would be. I dream like it's like a mysteries unsolved or something. I am Robert Stack. Well, Pablo's about to have a dream. If you have any information, what he's dreaming about? What reasons? That's an old impersonation. Who knows me now? I don't know.
Am I hearing your voice on voiceovers for things? Every once in a while, I'll hear a voice and I go, only you, Pablo, can do that voice. Am I hearing you?
A few Subarus just recently. Subaru.
That's
XP.
It.
Yeah, it's been.
That's you.
Yeah, it's me in there. Sometimes I have to lighten it up. This summer has XP written all over it. It's all XP. But now it's all the movies. They call themselves mercenaries. Get ready. Mickey Rourke. He sounds like Sylvester Stallone. Arnold Schwarzenegger. He's still around. And saying, I'm getting older and a lot more horny, too.
Right, sure.
So instead of saying, I'll be back, it's I'll make back, okay? Let me tell you. It's going to come to the show. It's going to be good.
There are a lot of actors working today where diction isn't really their thing. They don't really need to enunciate weird reason.
They just got to act, I just found out that Transylvania is in Italy, right? It's in Rome, right? Where the area there. So he's Italian. Pasta. Yes. I don't know. I was just trying to work that one in there.
It worked. It totally worked. We've talked about this with you before. There was a guy, the master of the voiceovers was a man named Don LaFontaine, who died a few years ago, sadly.
Yeah, he was doing Frank Caliendo show called Frank TV at the time, and Frank asked me to come in, and we did the three tenadors together, and it was like, you know, I'll get ready in the bottom of an abyss, and that kind of thing, and we had like 5 hours to each other, so he goes, well, what are you doing for the next 5 hours? I go, I think, let's go to my house, so... We went to his house, and he's like, you know, he has those statues that look at you, you know, like the ones.
Oh, they do,
yeah. The ones that look at, you know, you go, and he goes, you do me better than I do me. If I was you, I would be doing me, doing you, doing me, you and me. And we just hung out.
The 60 Minutes piece on him, right? They showed what a day was like for him, where he would go from recording studio to recording studio and just do that In a World thing that we've all heard in the movie ads.
Right.
But he would do five of them in a day.
Yeah, this time he goes, I do three a day, and I live like a king.
Yeah.
And then he has those other guys who come in and hi, and I talk like this. I'm like the Disney guy, Hercules and all your favorite Disney characters. Yeah, that kind of guy. He's like a Casey Kasem.
Yeah.
I'm Casey Kasem. And this is ponderous. I can't believe this damn dog dying. I don't get it. You know, TNT. What's it, AC/DC song? It's Dunder Cheap. Boom, neckties, contracts, high voltage, Dunder Cheap. That's it. I'm Casey.
That's
Kim.
It.
Yeah. You know.
Have they tapped on you to do any animated films yet? Have you done cartoon work or not?
Right now, I've been, you know, we've been dibbing and dabbing in that a little bit. You know, I've right now do some voiceover for the Universal. Get ready, it's Universal 360 and that kind of thing.
But excellent.
But there's all these other guys that come around. You know, hey man, you talk like this, and he goes into a, you know, yeah, are you in good hands? It's like a good hands kind of guy. You know, are
Dennis
you in
Hayford?
Good hands? I think techno DJs need to advertise. Yeah. People dance on those floors for 15 hours. Why not throw some advertisement. Are you in good hands? Are you in good hands? Are you in good hands?
My pillow.
Kind of.
My pillow. I got so stoned, I chopped up some foam and put it in there. My little tiny mattress. Little baby pillow.
A little cross.
Yes, mine.
Oh, man, if it wasn't for your pillow, man, my headache would not be right here, right now. It's incredible. If it wasn't for your pillow, I don't know. I'm crying right now. Your pillow. My pillow. Oh, God. What about these pharmaceutical commercials? Plavix helps your heart, but you need Busta Rhymes to tell you how bad it is. Why are you going to go, it's going to kill yourself, it's going to go urination, it's going to be suicidal tendency. Jeez. Man, it's witchcraft.
Good Busta Rhymes, Pablo. Very, very good.
Is
there a Cardi B in your repertoire yet or not yet?
No, I'm working on that one, but there's always that one. There's always that one song. It sounds like Tronic. Then you always have to, it's erotic city. It's like, what? Where did that come? A little chipmunk? Just go, get on deck! What is that? I don't get that. Little chipmunks can get involved and stuff.
You don't like chipmunks in your music?
That's the other one. Whoever is this guy? Is it a background singer for the OJs? Changing their voices, going up and down different amplitudes. That's witchcraft.
Was putting the donuts next to you a good idea or bad idea? We should not have put the Krispy Kremes by you.
Krispy Kreme sounds happy. Krispy Kreme, but Dunkin' Donut. Dunkin' Donut. Dunkin'. I have to go to Dunkin' Donut. But I can come to Krispy Kreme.
Pablo Francisco is
here. He shouldn't have any sugar.
No sugar.
What would happen?
No sugar.
No sugar for me, okay?
No sugar.
You cannot have no sugar. Come
not
on.
Not a good idea.
No sugar for me, okay?
Sugar-free Pablo Francisco is here right now. You can see him at the Improv tonight through Sunday. You want to go to chicago.improv.com. All your information's there. More in a moment. Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Our guest is getting a lot of love on the text line right now.
Oh, nice. I would imagine. Because people love Robert Stack. Everyone loves Robert Stack.
I'm Robert Stack. Give you.
How is what you do on stage today different from when you very first started doing stand-up comedy?
It's the same, man.
Is it the same?
It's a little bit ADD, EFG, HIJKLMNOP. But yeah, it's just like to goof off, but in a good way, you know.
With my course, you can do it. You can goof off.
No, it's... you just get a lot of things off your shoulders and, you know, trying to work on jealous guys. Jealous guys, that's right. Their women are walking out the door. You gonna wear that tonight? What's up with that, huh?
You bought it. I don't care.
There's no punchline yet.
No, you don't need punchlines. Yeah. Who needs punchlines? Overrated.
Yeah.
So from the very beginning, when you decided you wanted to do stand-up, you thought, this is the way I'll do it. I'll just be all over the place and manic. That was the idea from the very beginning?
Yeah. I said, I'll pick a road to go down there, and then we'll split it up, and then we'll go back together again. And you know, it's as long as it kind of makes sense. You know, I don't want to go jump from one topic and then act like, you know, like I'm talking out. there's a goal. The goal is to get the big laugh and get your point across. You know,
can I guess an inspiration?
Sure.
I'm just guessing. Robin Williams.
Right. You know what? When I watched Mork and Mindy and stuff, I didn't like him too much on that show. But I saw him on Happy Days. That's when he would really go off. So that's when you get the good Robin Williams. But then again, he's always good. He's always going to make you laugh.
Yeah.
And it was so funny. I was in San Francisco and I sold out Cobb's right there, and right next door he sold out his show. So it's like we're right next door to each other. But how are you? he was always
so fast.
Fast,
such
and quick,
a fast mind.
Drinking lots of water and you know, just sweating a lot. So
yeah.
I don't sweat that much, but you know, I shake. Okay. But we're right now working on a new hour right now, and it's called Here We Go Again.
Mm-hmm.
And we're gonna add some cartoons in there. It's gonna be
nice.
Yeah, so you know, we make fun of Dog the Bounty Hunter. He's a convicted felon, doesn't have a right to vote, but has every right to come to your house and spray mace in your face. You know, like, yes, it's the Deadliest Catch. These guys go out of their way, and they brag about it too. That's right, man. We put our lives on the line. So for they put their lives on the line so some drunk at Hooters can get his damn crab legs. You know? I want to take a bunch of prostitutes, put them in an apartment, call it Hoarders. That's what I want to do. Yes, it's Con Pond. Yes, I got this thing. They're all in Con Pond. The guy just spins around, puts a mustache on. Okay, let me take a look at it, okay? Christ was born in this. He was born in this blanket. Yes, he sure was. How much you want? $1 million. Okay, did you dry clean this?
Do you watch a lot of reality TV? Are you stuck on the reality TV
shows? I watch a little bit of with Storage Wars. You got to get somehow. You want to figure out they're going to find some kind of ruble in there.
Yeah,
but, it's so fun. If you want Storage Wars, this is what you do. You have a big yard sale. Get your friend on cocaine to auction off everything. Okay, I'm going to buy this. But I mean, I think the producers are actually they're going to put a diamond in there. Hey man, I can't believe it.
Yeah.
Whoa. And watching these guys brag about how much all the junk they buy. They bought some diapers and whatever, toilet and there's a ruble.
Yeah, how'd that happen? That's crazy. What about overseas? Are you working in other countries or just in the U.S. right now?
We just got back from Hong Kong.
Oh, what was that like?
Hong Kong. Okay. We went to Jackie Chan's house and he goes, "No, leave me alone, Anku." We went there and then went to Bruce Lee's house. He wasn't home. I think he was doing a lot of cocaine. The way he talks, hey, dude, just stop doing
Bruce Lee, Dragon Ball, 8-Ball Z. He sounds like a chicken.
What? He's doing a lot of cocaine there.
I like the announcer would say he sounds like a chicken.
He sounds like a chicken. And he's on cocaine. Scarface, Bruce Lee.
Or say hello to my little tiny friend, okay? It's tiny. Who makes that noise?
Who makes that noise?
I like you. Your style is unorthodox.
Do you remember a comedian? Wendy and I have discussed this man many times on the show, Charlie Callis.
Sounds familiar. Yes.
He would do during his stand-up, he would just make noises for no reason.
That's where Cardi B ripped it off from.
Yeah, all the time.
He'd be telling a joke, all right, the other day if something happened. Like a transition.
Yeah, that's it exactly.
Robin to the Batmobile.
Like Scoob, come on. Scooby-Doo, huh?
That sounds like a Michael J. Fox Shaggy.
Come on, Doc. Come on. Scooby.
Right. So drugs are going on there, Scooby-Doo, and they have, and Shaggy always have the munchies, and Johnny Quest going in and out of jungles. There's drugs involved.
Like Scoob.
You mentioned Johnny Quest. You're my favorite.
What's going on there? Well, Rash, talk like this. Watch out, Race. Watch out. There, get the neutron bullet.
Hey, everybody. I'm your Hudgy. How are you? Adopted. Come on.
Don't you think if they do a Johnny Quest movie, Mike Pence has got to play Race Bannon?
Mike Pence, yeah,
exactly like him.
Yeah, here kind of sounds Mike Pence. who play Johnny Quest? Let's see here. Who could play Johnny Quest?
Bieber.
Bonner. Bieber?
Yeah.
Hey, that's, that'd be missed. That's Eddie Haskell. Hey, Miss Bieber. Can't do that. I'm trying to run my home. Hey, yo, Wally, get the beef dog out of here.
Bandit. Come on, Bandit.
Okay. Jeez. Who would play? Leaf Garrett play? I don't know.
Leaf Garrett might be too old.
He might be. Just a little too old, huh?
No, okay. 58 for Johnny Quest. I don't know. I would play, but maybe.
Okay, and then who would play the evil person? Probably Simon.
That's right. You suck. You know. I give you a zero.
Simon Cow is evil. Yeah, I guess he's evil, but, you know. What can you say? Hey, all right. That's Ronnie Dangerfield. He's out of the picture.
He's gone. That's sad. He's gone.
We have Dennis Hopper. Come on, man. Am I still alive? I don't know, man. Come on. Somewhere. Your great Johnny Quest, huh? Come on, man. Toothless weirdo Pablo. Hash brown junkyard dog.
Thanks for the edit, by the way.
What's it like for the other comic in the car when you're driving to a job, say in Arizona, and you guys have 5,000 miles to drive? Do they survive this?
No. Actually, we start bouncing. My roommates at the time, Steve Kramer, he'd be like, "Hey, you can do a tattoo." I tried to do a tattoo. Hello, the plane. I mean, I figure he's a midget, but he sees the plane. I don't get it. You know, a tattoo, yes, but that would be Captain Kirk. I don't know. Going back to the hash brown stuff. I don't know. Hey, what am I doing? All right, bing, bing. Come to the show. Come to the show. I'm Casey Kasem, and it's time for a long-distance dedication. It reads, "Dear Casey, Pablo found out 2 weeks ago he was type 2 diabetic. Could you please play Pour Some Sugar on Me?"
My favorite thing about you is that you leave out both setups and punchlines.
I know.
It still works.
I tried to put it in there. Got to structure it. That's right.
It's one of those classes you see on the internet.
All right, Rust. Okay. You have shows to do. Pablo Francisco is going to be at the Improv in Woodfield. You want to go to chicago.improv.com. He's there tonight. He's got two shows tomorrow. He's got two shows Saturday and a show on Sunday. Wow, it's always good to see you. Hey, thanks, man. So much for being here, Pablo.
Good. Thank you for having me. It's good to be here at the Allstate Studio. You're in good hands.
Good luck with the tooth.
Thanks, buddy.
Good luck with the tooth.
You can call me buddy. I like it.
That's a compliment.
You're on top like this. How you...
More after this. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Thank you, Steve. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. And the Chicago Flower and Garden Show will be happening. It's happening now through Valentine's
Day. March 20th.
I'm confused. Oh, it's not happening yet. It will be. Anyway, the president of the Chicago Flower and Garden Show, Tony Abruscato, is here. Tony, when is it?
It's March 20th through the 24th.
All right. I honestly am coming this year. We were just talking off the air. This is a place to go to find out everything you want to know about plants. We were talking about not just necessarily flowers, and we'll get to that for Valentine's Day, but you brought in a couple of beautiful plants. What are they?
So a philodendron, which is the moonlight philodendron. And so as for those online that can see it, is that the new leaves come out this brighter yellow color. And then the as they mature, they become that darker green. And they'll also have a little bit of a split to them. But again, with that broad leaf, they're there. And then the other is the medallion, Calathea, which is a bright leaf and bold colors. And so the brighter the bigger the leaf at times, the more air that it's purifying.
Okay, that is what amazed me. They say that I only have silk plants in my house because I don't like to take care of them. Outside, Mother Nature helps with watering. But inside, if you have real plants, they really are kind of nature's air filter.
Well, you know, and much more than kind of, they really are. And so, and nothing, you know, nothing against the folks at Glade or Febreze or something like that, but it's chemicals and it's all those different things. But the house plants in there, they are purifying the air. And think about it too, in a small office space or office space in general, but if you have your own little office, putting some live plants in that office really clean the air. And one of the things you'll notice, I was joking with him last night, I was over at Sprout Home, looking at some plants, and you'll see the leaves, all of a sudden they're really dusty and dirty.
Yeah.
Because that it's all attracting to the leaf. And so that's why you wipe those with a sponge and keep those leaves clean. But that's where, you know, they're purifying that air, and those contaminants are coming through and connect. That's how I look at it. It's that they're connecting onto those leaves.
Go back to the philodendron for just a second. You talked about how as it gets older, the leaf color gets darker. Is that standard for plants and flowers, or is that just something that...
No, it happens to be the moonlight philodendron. You'll see sometimes when the flowers or the green plant is just opening up, it might be a little bit lighter than the mature color. But this one in particular comes out this really bright, almost, I'm a little colorblind.
It's like neon.
So
lime
neon
green.
I was going to say limey.
Yeah.
It comes out this little limey color, and then it darkens around. So as it continues to grow, you're having, you know, it kind of looks like the moonlight where it shimmers out. And so you get that multicolor in it. And the nice thing about it is, again, when you're giving these as gifts, it's something that's there year round. So flowers are lovely. We're the Chicago Flower and Garden Show.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So not trying to downplay the flower side, but this is something that you have year round.
Easy to take care of or no?
These are easy to take care of. And, for these two in particular, they don't like to be dry. But you don't want to overwater them, and they can last in a brighter light or ambient light. So oftentimes in your office, I'm really pushing the office thing, but oftentimes in your office, you don't really have natural light coming in. And so these will actually survive an ambient lighting. And I have some peace lilies, which are, you know, almost like the cockroach at times of the plant industry, because they just don't die. Most of it's really hard. And so I always laugh that, you know, I come home and
because they scatter when you turn the light out,
that's
which
right,
is
yeah,
really
it's
weird.
And they're all
I don't
over.
Know why they do that.
But I look at them and I'll walk in one day and they're all just drooping.
Oh.
And I'm like, oh my God, because they dried them out. And so I come in and I, you know, drench them and drown them.
Yeah.
And then couple hours later, poof, they're all
back
perky
normal.
And they're bright and they're happy. The philodendron and the calathea don't like to get that dry.
So really. Like a couple times a week you water them? I just don't have any concept of that.
Victor in our office, he does it once a week.
Once a week.
We water once a week. But then also look, like in the winter when you have the heat kicking, you might do
a little extra.
Twice a week, do a little extra. And some of them, there's little gauges you can buy. But the best gauge and the free gauge is your finger. And
just if the soils...
Just kind of walk by it. But what he did, which I thought was really smart, because we were flower and garden show and all our plants were dying. And so, you know...
It's bad.
I thought you watered him. I thought you watered him. So, you know, every Tuesday he walks around, he checks the plants and waters them. It's just part of his schedule.
Yeah.
That way it gets done. Because when you're talking about it, you know, these were $38, $40 a piece. So
you want them to last.
Yes.
You want them to last, you know. And so, but it's also like the... the peace lilies I have are 6 years old.
You're getting your money's worth on that.
And and those, what's really nice about it is, in a way, is those were given to me. Actually, my dad passed away February 10th, so coming up here.
I'm so sorry.
And so it'll be 6 years. And those were given to me as part of a funeral arrangement at his funeral. And so I look at those are dad's peace lilies.
Yeah.
And so now 6 years later, I still have those peace lilies. And every time I look at them, it reminds me of him.
Oh, very
at
nice.
Peace lilies. That's
at
what
peace,
you should call them.
Yeah, right. And so that's where when you say we give these, you can give flowers and things, but when you give these plants, they can really last forever. Mm. You were sharing the story of your producer who was moving.
Oh, Kevin Richter, he had, it looked like a fiddle leaf fig tree, which is just kind of a big stalk and a few large leaves.
Right.
Kind of sparse and really cool. And he and Sarah were moving to California and they were selling some things from their apartment. And before I could even like say, hey, I wanted it, it sold immediately. Somebody bought it.
Yeah. And I was saying back in the day, people were just throwing them away.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't want to take this plant. I'm going to throw it away or do something. And now there's actually social media sites that people are buying and selling their plants.
Wow.
Matthew, who's here with me from Strategia, he's got a new apartment and they got two of those fig plants and now they're
so
starting
cool.
to leaf out.
Yeah.
But these are things that even some of them are generational. They're, you know, or you take a cutting from, you know, mom's jade plant or something like that or one of these figs. And so it's really, really cool. And the sale of houseplants are up like 200-300%. And I always joke in the office about 40% of those sales are coming through millennials. And I joke, especially when there's a millennial in the room, I'm like, you know, they invented it. Millennials invented the houseplant.
Sure they did.
And they have saved the industry. But really, you know, they're seeing it. It's experiential. It's something that they buy once and they nurture. There's even T-shirts out now. I'm a plant parent.
I was just going to say that's experience before they get a pet or a baby. They start to see if, because I kill every plant. It's amazing my kids are still alive.
I have a friend who has one of the saguaro cactuses, you know, with the arms that stick up. And so that cactus's name is Captain Jazz Hands. And so it's up there. And so people are naming them.
Oh,
they're creating
so
social media sites. They're not getting a dog. They're
Bill
getting
is
a
rolling
plant.
His eyes.
No, it 200 to 300% is a significant number. That's gigantic for the change to happen that quickly.
And so we're very excited about it because, again, it's so healthy and good for the environment, not only in your own space, but you'll see that people are wanting this experience. So you'll see houseplant sales are on the rise, succulents sales.
Those are very popular. The
thing about it is, though, that succulents are plants that they conserve all of this energy. They conserve all of their energy so that they live in these extreme conditions. So they don't really purify the air the way that you think the other plants do. So they're like, plants purify the air, I'll get some succulents.
Right.
Well, they're trained to keep all of their energy inside. They're not processing it through. So they're a great plant and they're a lot of fun, but you know, they're from the health standpoint, they're not quite.
Last time succulent came up, you were unsure what it is, so I want him to describe, because I'm envisioning, like, you know, a needleless cactus or a little aloe plant, something like that. What is a succulent?
I mean, that's all in that realm. It's kind of in the cactus family, and it comes in, it's very dry conditions and sandy conditions at time. A lot of times they'll use them in terrariums.
Oh.
The hens and chicks or chicks and hens.
Yes.
Echeveria, the different names of them that you can bring them together. And even like an air plant, because
those are popular too.
Right. And there's no water really involved and there's no soil involved. But those are things, even in people's, they're coming out now. We work with a group, Midwest Ground Cover, here in Chicago, and they have a hocus pocus line, and they're steppables. So when you have them outside in between the cracks in your patio or something, you can put in these steppables, and they can
very
take a
nice
beating. You can step on them, but rather than having the weeds come up and all of those things, you can have those plants.
Are you okay to take calls from listeners? Because we've got a bunch of people lined up who have some questions. You're good with that?
They can. Always remember, I'm not a horticulturist.
Yeah. I'm here to back you up.
But I've got Wendy to back me up.
Yeah. So.
And you brought tickets as well to give away?
I did. I brought tickets to give away.
You're very generous, Tony.
We'll do that, too.
Very generous. That's coming up next. Stick around. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Bill Leff, it's Wendy Snyder. Tony Abruscato is our guest. He's the president of the Chicago Flower and Garden Show, the only president that everybody loves. The Garden Show, the Flower and Garden Show, takes place Wednesday, March the 20th through Sunday, March the 24th at Navy Pier, Festival Halls A and B at Navy Pier. And we're talking about flowers and plants, and there's a bunch of people who have questions for you. Wendy, lead the way.
All right. You mentioned you brought a philodendron with you, the moonlight one. And Christy, you have a philodendron question? Oops, my fault.
Like your guest. Hello?
Hello.
Hello. Like your guest, I have my philodendron actually from when my father passed away, and it's going to be 3 years old. And it's in a shallow pot, and it has two. They're probably like 10 feet long now. One goes up the wall in one direction, and one goes up in the wall, and they've gotten like little suckers, and they're growing, and I don't know if I want it to keep going. So what would you recommend to do with all of that?
If you don't want to, you know, you can always trim them back so that they're coming through. And I would look up, you know, the second best gardener in the world is the Google. But
honestly,
but I would look at about cutting back. But you can always trim back new growth. And then on philodendrons, you might also be able to create a new starter out of that. So cutting it back, putting it in water. Some of these plants are very susceptible to that. I actually did that with one of the ivy vines that I have in the office. Those are the ones you see most often. People cut, put in water, and re-root. So that's something that you could look at. I'm not sure 100%. I always say that my talent in the plant world is finding people that know about plants. So I always can't offer the best advice. But that's one of the things. You can always trim back. Like my peace lily, I'll thin out at different times because it's getting so thick, or I'll divide it out so it stays fresh. But that's one of the things I would look is see if you can cut that and then re-root it and start another plant with it, and it's a way to keep it down.
Good luck.
Okay, great. Thank you.
And you mentioned Peace Lily. Colleen has a Peace Lily question. Was it already answered by Tony Abruscato?
No, it wasn't. But this is my story. So my mother, I got a Peace Lily from when my mother passed away. It'll be 6 years this year. I moved into a different home, and it has hard water. My Peace Lily is now dead, and I also had a piece of ivy from when my youngest sister was born, who is now 47 years old.
Oh, my God.
That died, too. Oh. So is this the pH of the water? Does that affect your plants, too?
Oh, absolutely. So, okay. You know, all of that can come into play, and so putting in some softer water, or oftentimes what I might do is I'll take a pitcher of water and I'll fill it up at night and let it sit out for a day, and then the following night I'll water my plants
with
it.
What does that do?
So it kind of purifies it a little bit. In my mind, it might take out some of the impurities that are there, but it's taking out some of that hard water aspect. There's also, if your water's really hard and bad, you can get a little pH tester, and you just dip this strip in there so you know what it's at, and there'll be a little additive in there. And sometimes that shift, I have two of the peace lilies, and the one in the living room does really well, and the other one in the other room is kind of skinny and scrawny. It's just not, doesn't like its environment as much. And sometimes when you switch environments, that happens. But that hard water can really play in, because you also think about it with, you know, fertilizers and soil when you're out in the garden. I know, Wendy, you garden a lot, and you know, it's always about that soil composition.
Yeah.
And so when you think about it, you're watering, and that little soil in that little pot is being affected by the hard water that you're putting inside of it. And then also, you know, look at some more organic, natural fertilizers that you can use too, because that'll help spruce them along. But definitely grab a little pH strip, a tester. You can get it at your local garden center or major box store, and check your water out, because that can have an impact on it.
Yeah, because they're gone now, but I will have one of my sisters cut, you know, a piece of this ivy that we've had in the family for 40 something years. At least I'll know to bottle water, you know, that plant when I get it. So
good luck.
All right,
to
I
you
appreciate. Thank you.
Somebody has texted, I recently helped my friend to repot a houseplant, which she bought as a newlywed over 50 years ago, still going strong and enormous.
Is that normal? Amazing? It can be very normal.
Yeah.
A few years ago at the show, and I'm trying to resurrect it for 2020, is that we had a horticulture competition.
Yeah.
And we had someone bring in, I think it was like a 70-year-old cactus.
Oh, my God.
And somebody else had a fern that was 40 or 50 years old. But you think about it, the thread from the previous woman, unfortunately, her plants died, but she has one from her sister when she was born.
Yeah, 40-some years ago.
But what an amazing gift to be able to look at that and have that. And now these plants. And so, yeah, people are repotting them. They're splitting them. They're giving off here. This is mom's, you know, this is part of mom's philodendron, and this is part of mom's plant. And you carry that tradition throughout the family, and that's a big part of it. We talk about it at the show. Every time I tell someone I'm the head of the Flower and Garden Show, that, oh, my grandmother and my mom and my sister and my aunt and I would always go to the show. Everyone's got a story about it, which is our theme is flower tales. And so talking about people's tales about it. But that's what plants do. They invoke some of those memories, whether it's a favorite color or a favorite plant or something that you've had in the family for a long, long time.
All right. The Chicago Flower and Garden Show, it's going on March 20th through the 24th. I've got to go this year. It's at Navy Pier. We'll tell you how you can win a pair of tickets. But real quickly, Valentine's Day is a week from today, correct? Yes, it's next Thursday.
It's the 14th, so yes.
And a lot of people like roses, but there are some options, correct?
Absolutely, and that's one of the, we got off onto the houseplant tangent, but some of the options, roses are wonderful. We love rose
are
growers.
Are they too predictable, would you say?
I think they're predictable at times, and if it's just a dozen roses, it's like, oh, well, I swung into the grocery store and I picked up a dozen roses. I really was thinking about you.
Yes.
And not so much. So I went in last night. I swooped in. I mentioned I went to Sprout, and I went in and I looked at, I know that, you know, one of my favorite colors is orange. And so I found some sweet pea vine that were a little orange and the yellowy. Mm-hmm. And I talked to the person around the counter and I said, I love this sweet potato vine and I love this dahlia, this big white dahlia that was in the center. And so they just picked flowers in that same palette for me and putting in poppies and kumquat. branches with a little
fruit on it.
And so a beautiful bouquet, very unique.
Yeah.
Even the carnation was this dusty rose kind of color.
It's not your typical bright red.
Red or white or something like that. And so it comes in to be very unique, and it really goes that you put in some really thought and care about it. I joke all the time, my partner loves birds of paradise. So,
those are cool.
So I get, you know, I got a private, I know a little store that always has birds of paradise. And so I bring those home for him. And that, mm-hmm. because bringing him a dozen roses, he's like, that's really great. But you know that birds of paradise are my favorite.
Sure.
And then, you know, if you go one step further, what I like about these plants, the house plants, is that you could actually go out and get a terracotta pot or some kind of pot similar to that. And you could actually paint it and create
that pot.
Or you could decoupage photographs into it or do a variety of things. So you have this custom pot and container with this plant in it. And that way, you know, they have that forever to know that you took that extra step.
That's it.
And I was joking in the car on the way over here, because then you can, then when you do something really wrong and they throw that, you know, pot at you, right. You know the relationship's over.
Sure.
That's completely it. They threw that custom pot.
We will take pictures of these and put them up on our Facebook and
Wonderful.
Instagram pages, because what a great idea. And then you can tell your significant other that you actually chose those flowers. You don't have to say the florist did it. You could say,
absolutely.
Said put that in and that in.
But, you know, say, my partner loves red, and so I want something. And they'll build that palette around you, because people always say, well, I don't know what to get, so I just get the dozen roses. That's why you go to a real flower shop.
They can help you.
And they can help you and walk you through this.
Excellent. Tony, great
tickets?
To see you. Yeah, let's do it right now.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, the Garden Chicago Flower and Garden Show is going to happen Wednesday, March 20th through Sunday, March 24th at Navy Pier. We have a pair of tickets right now. What number caller, Tony?
11
All
for
right.
my birthday.
Oh.
Happy birthday, Tony.
Next February month. 11th? Oh.
No, March 11th.
Okay. Well, happy almost birthday.
We didn't want to go with my age, because caller 55.
We'd be here forever.
Jasmine has to leave at 3 o'clock. Right, she can't stay early.
All right, caller 11, 312-981-7200. We'll set you up with a pair of tickets to go to the Chicago Flower and Garden Show. Tony Abruscato is the president and show director. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
And we'll take a quick break, and then we will talk to Dean, correct?
Dean Richards coming up next, Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Congratulations to Susan from Cicero, who will be going to the Chicago Flower and Garden Show at Navy Pier March 20th through the 24th. Tony Abruscato, the president and show director. A quick little fun thing to do for Valentine's Day that we forgot to mention.
Yeah, so one of our partners this weekend, Christy Weber Farm and Garden Center over on the Near West Side, they're doing plant champagne and great ideas for Valentine's Day. And so you can go in and have a little bubbly and pick out one of these nice philodendrons or some cut florals and enjoy yourself. Maybe you bring your significant other with you and go through it. Otherwise, you go on your own, have a couple of drinks, and get
some
flowers.
It. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
He knows which movies make you laugh and which ones make you cry. If you love films.
We all love film, and we're in a hurry, so let's get right to Dean Richards.
Dean Richards is at an airport. You're at Migs Field,
again.
Dean? Is that right?
Again, I refuse to give up Migs Field. I don't care what anybody says. I realize there's not an airport here anymore.
So what?
But this is my airport of choice.
All right, let's do this then. We'll reverse things. We'll do the movie reviews first, and then if you have time, there's
we'll
a couple
chit-chat.
Of stories about movies that we want to run past you. But you tell us when you have to go. Just give us a 2-minute warning, okay?
Yeah, I'll give you as much warning as I can with that. I think we should be okay, though. Movies, we've got actually mostly good ones this week, surprisingly, right before the Oscars. That doesn't happen very often. We've got Lego Movie 2, the second part. About 5 years ago, I knew that was going to happen. I knew they were going to come on the overhead speaker.
Uh-oh.
About 5 years ago, the first Lego movie came out and was a surprise hit. Lego Batman movie came out a couple of years ago, was even a bigger hit with Will Arnett. And they've, you know, all the characters are back together again. And they, you know, have new adventures, but it's got that same very funny, irreverent tone. It's just as funny for little kids as it is big kids. I really like Lego 2, and I gave it a Dean's List B+.
Wow.
All right, that's great news. Great news. Now, I have to say, Dean, that first Lego movie was one of the most pleasant surprises I've ever had in a movie theater. I thought it would be average at best, and it was really, really funny.
It's really funny, and the second one, I think, is, you know, the surprise element isn't there, because I went in thinking I hope this is going to be as clever as the first one. And sure. I think it is pretty much as clever as the first one. Really creative, really catchy, really funny, irreverent songs in this one. So, yeah, I really liked it a lot.
All right, so a high mark for Lego 2. The next
high
one
mark
is
for Lego 2.
What Men Want.
The Taraji P. Henson movie that everyone is they're appearing everywhere. The stars are appearing everywhere. Taraji P. Henson, Tracy Morgan. This is a gender reversal from the old Mel Gibson movie, What Women Want. This one's called What Men Want, where Taraji's character gets conked on the head and gets the ability to hear what men are really thinking, the inner thoughts of men. I know many of you listening today often wonder, what's Wendy hearing what Bill is thinking right now?
Actually, Dean, the question is, are men thinking anything? Not what are they thinking, are they thinking?
That's true. Yeah. That's very true. What's going on in my head? Remember that noise that, was it Snoopy? Is it Snoopy or Woodstock? I can't remember the Peanuts cartoon. Mm-hmm. Just like that weird whispery kind of sound. That's usually what's going on in my head. But this movie, there's kind of a serious subplot to this of gender discrimination. Taraji's character is a sports agent in an all male world and can't get a promotion, can't get a break because she's a woman. And this ability to hear men's thoughts helps her manipulate around all that. It's funny. Tracy Morgan is funny as always. I like this one, too. It's just like a nice breath of fresh air in movies right now. And I gave it a Dean Plus B. The one that I think is going to be a little difficult for people to go watch, although I hope people do go see it because it's really great, is this Liam Neeson movie, Cold Pursuit, which it's about a father whose son gets murdered and he goes on a revenge tear. Trying to avenge his son's murder. It's not at all like the Taken movies that Liam Neeson has done. This one is much more like a Coen Brothers movie, almost a Quentin Tarantino movie. It's funny. It's exceedingly violent. Mostly it's just a funny, dark, very violent comedy. All of that said, with the confession that Liam Neeson made this week, 40 years ago, admitting to seeking out a black person to get even with, to kill, as he said, because a friend of his was raped by a black person. He's taken a lot of heat on that for the last couple of days. You can all decide whatever you think about that. But it's more than ironic that he's got a revenge movie out about a murder, and this real-life story about something he did 40 years ago has come out. So I liked the movie quite a bit, and I gave it a Dean Plus B+.
All right, Dean, let me ask you a quick question. And again, when you have to go to catch your plane, just give us a minute or two warning and we'll let you go. But if you're the company that puts this movie out, I think it's Lionsgate that's the producers on this movie.
Right.
This has to be an absolute PR nightmare for you, right?
Absolutely. They were getting such great reviews universally. People really liked this movie. It was plugging along. It had all the potential. Liam Neeson in a twist on these kinds of movies that we know him for the Taken franchise. It's really different from those movies. Plugging along, and looked like it was going to be a big hit. This week, they had to cancel the red carpet premiere. Liam Neeson was supposed to make appearances in places and wasn't able to because of all the controversy. So, yes, absolutely a PR nightmare, and I'm just so curious to see if people are going to wind up going to see this movie or not, or if this whole thing, which, you know, what a nightmare and what a horrible thing to have had happen in your life. But part of me gives him a lot of credit for being honest and, you know, saying what he did and how regretful it was and how he sought help for it. He was being nothing but honest. So, you know, I don't know if people are going to bad feelings toward him about this or not. I have no idea what's going to happen.
He was scheduled to be on Stephen Colbert's show either tomorrow night or Monday night. I can't remember which. And he himself canceled the appearance. He said the timing on it isn't good. I wonder what the next few days, weeks, months, and years will be like for him if this will harm his career, you know?
Right. We've never had anything like this. He could have taken this you know, this horrible secret to his grave and not said anything. He chose to be honest about it. So we've just never seen anything like this ever come out before. So who knows what's going to happen?
Yeah. All right, on to something much, much happier. You shared some good news with the WGN audience the other day on Steve Cochran's show. Wendy and I both are elated. New footage or restored footage from Bozo Circus.
Bozo,
coming
Bozo.
As a special on the 17th.
Yeah, we've got another Bozo special. It's not new footage because, as you know, in the infinite wisdom of WGN executives in the past, they chose not to keep any of the old Bozo or keep very little of the old Bozo footage. But what we've done is taken some footage that we had. We've had it digitally restored. We're going to air this in a special called Bozo Circus, the 1960s, on February 17th. And it's going to be super cool to see all of this unedited, exactly the way it ran on the air, and crystal clear, beautiful restored footage. So we're super excited about that. And super excited that this coming Sunday, we're going to be airing as a WGN family classic. It's a Mad, 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 Mad World in its original form.
I have to see that.
A 3.5-hour movie that when it ran in theaters, they had an intermission. They presented it like a play. Theater owners were going crazy because, you know, they could only show it a certain number of times because the movie was long.
Yeah,
but we actually edited only one word out of the movie. There's a point at which Peter Falk, who plays a cab driver, refers to somebody as retard.
Oh.
And we just didn't think that that was an appropriate
sure.
thing. It didn't really change the context of the movie in any way, but just felt a little bit offensive. So that's the only thing that we edited out. Otherwise, it's running its original form. Everybody who, virtually everybody who was a star at that time is in this movie. And during the movie, I have some very interesting stories about who's in, who couldn't be in, who wanted to be in, people who are going to be in the movie, and then at the last minute wound up couldn't be in the movie. So in addition to the movie, some very interesting things that we're sprinkling in.
Sometimes because they died, right? Like Ernie Kovacs was supposed to
Ernie Kovacs got killed
loved
in a car accident,
him.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm such a fan.
Yep. Exactly right. Anyway, that's going to be Sunday at 1 o'clock.
Are you surprised in a world where remakes are the norm that this movie, there was never any attempt to remake the movie, ever? Are you surprised?
No, I think, I guess not, just because it's, it would be like remaking Gone with the Wind. Classics in their own way, but there's no way that you could get the number of stars in a movie like they did then. I don't think that could ever happen again today.
Yeah.
If they did it, it would pale in comparison. You know, do you really want to see, Vin Diesel in It's a Mad, Mad World 2.
No. I'll answer now.
With Zach Galifianakis? Yes.
Well, Zach, yes.
Maybe. Zach Galifianakis in the Jonathan Winters role?
Yes.
Yes.
Now we're talking. Now we've got a sale.
That would be awesome.
Excellent. All right. Have a safe flight. You going to California?
Going to California, talking nice. With Craig Ferguson and some of the other voices in How to Train Your Dragon 2.
Three.
Eight.
Whatever number it is, yes. Whatever.
I hear you're two, I raise you three.
Dragon.
Whatever dragons need to be trained. All right, well, Dean, fly right. safely, and we'll talk to you in a week. Thanks so much.
Have a great weekend, you guys. See ya.
Thanks, Dean.
Dean Richards.
All right, we are going to go to the stream at 12 noon, but there's something that I would like to talk about. I've told you this off the air, and I broke down and bought Who tickets.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
I'm
yeah.
going to see The Who, and then I find out that there's this thing going on.
It's not just you, right? It's your husband and both your children as well. You're
yes,
all
four of us. So that made it much more expensive.
Sure.
Should have just gone by myself.
Oh.
But The Magic Bus, this song from The Who, came out 50 years ago. And there is a double-decker Who bus traveling through Chicago right now.
Oh, really?
It's Chicago, New York, and L.A. And I just want to tell the listeners out there, if you see this bus You can go to livenation.com. You can find, just Google the Who's Magic Bus. There's a certain route. If you take a picture of yourself with the bus in the background, yeah, or take a picture of it,
yeah,
and you hashtag, I will tell you what it is, you can win tickets to the show.
The same tickets you just spent,
yes,
a whole bunch of money on?
So I would guarantee that might be the way to go. Tickets are, they vary in prices.
Right.
It's out in Tinley Park, but I wanted to sit in the main section because it's the Who. They're going to have an orchestra behind them.
Oh, nice.
They have a new album that they're working on, and I love the Who. So I just wanted to mention, look for that magic bus. There is a route, and it's called the Who Moving On. That's the name of their new record.
Uh-huh.
Zach Starkey plays with them, Ringo Starr's son. And Simon Townsend, Pete's brother, is in the band now as well.
Wow.
And I can't wait to go in May. The hype is there. And if you hashtag magic bus entry and put it on social media, you can win a pair of tickets. Unlike me, who bought the tickets.
Yeah, but it's a chance of winning as opposed to knowing for sure that you guys are going. I know you. You need that peace of mind knowing you have secured four seats.
Yeah.
So
I had to do it. I pulled the trigger.
Are you experiencing, like you mentioned, prices... If I remember right, several hundred per seat. Are you experiencing any buyer's remorse?
Can I tell you something? I don't know if we were talking about buyer's remorse on or off the air recently. I have absolutely none.
Well, then you did the right thing.
I know. Yeah. You even said to me,
I said,
that's
not bad. Don't even think about it. You have to do it. This could be one of your last chances, if not your last chance, to see a legendary band. Why wouldn't you do it?
I love The Who.
Yeah.
I'm very excited.
Then you did the right thing, then.
And we're working on maybe getting Pete Townsend or Roger Daltrey to call in.
Call Walter Jacobson.
I know, they're connected.
He and Roger Daltrey have a lot in common.
The same ear doctor.
Yeah, so see if we can do something with that.
That is very hip of Walter and Roger Daltrey have the same hearing equipment.
Think about a universe where you would have to talk to Walter Jacobson about having Roger Daltrey on your show. That just doesn't... Does that make any sense at all?
I think he's booking the interviews now. We have to go through Walter. All right, so look for the magic bus. It's in Chicago. Google it. Live Nation is behind
it. I just got a text from Bill Curtis, Wendy. If we want Lady Gaga on the show, he knows her. They're friends, evidently. So
coming up, the stories that matter with Eric Rung from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom right here at WGN Radio.